CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. Yep. Is it the last week of November yet, or what's the 23rd today? So, I mean, we've...
Yeah, we've got... It ends in a week's time today.
Jesus.
Wow. Exactly a week.
Wow. How did that happen? End of November. I thought we still had some...
Feel like it, right?
I know. It's madness. Maybe people have even already started those end-of-year functions, but they'll be different, right? I mean, are we having end-of-year functions? I know at Cliff Central we're going to do like a little staff end-of-year breakfast or lunch or whatever, and there are only a few of us, so it's fine, but... What about big companies?
Listen, I think if any business has made it through COVID, it's cause to celebrate.
Damn straight. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But are people even able to have like year end functions?
You do it responsibly.
I read the most ridiculous thread, in my opinion, this weekend, and it was a U.S. employee complaining about having to put up with a Zoom Christmas party at work. She was saying, I didn't see the need. And then people started commenting, talking about, yeah, this is stupid. And I was also invited at the office for something like that. And it's a thing. So this particular user was complaining that they had to dress up in Christmas sweaters and they'll all log on at a certain time and the boss will,
discuss
things with them. That's not a party.
No, it sounds worse than, and I never thought there could be anything worse than an office function at the end of the year, but this clearly is worse. Ugh.
It might be an idea to have something outdoors, like a picnic or something, where you can social distance yourselves.
Yeah.
And there's lots of fresh air.
Well, I'm not sure. To me, if it's unnecessary, if you don't have to have it, don't do it, right? Just don't. There's no one's sitting there going, oh, what I really want is another office function. Yay.
Or take the money you would have spent on the office function and give it to people.
Just give it to them, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
But my mom is so not for anything that has been happening recently. You know, she's here. She was here over the weekend last week. And in one of the drives I was taking with her, she says, so how are people at your office? What do you mean? She goes, no, how are they doing? I'm like, no, we're working, so things are fine. She goes, no, how are they? What's happening? You know, how are things at their houses? How are the ones who are married? I'm like, I don't really know. She goes, no, that's not a thing. How do you know? How do you not know? You need to call them. You need to find out at least how they're doing. So,
oh, wow. So she's really concerned for everyone's well-being.
Well, yeah. No, she says working and getting work done is one thing, but we still need to be invested in each other's lives. You need to know how are people's kids doing and are they okay and is anyone sick and, you know, just to be together. I'm thinking that's so sweet, but also... So what am I meant to do? Okay, so I'll call you. Take care.
Yeah, ask me
how are things at home, really.
Yeah, and ask me how my kids are, and you know.
but I get her point.
Oh, these I love things, your sentiment.
Yeah,
these things we would ordinarily have, you know, when someone is lamenting about having to do homework with their kid last night, or you know, you're at the water cooler conversations. You know, these things you naturally have. Now we haven't had much of that.
Yeah, I think she makes a good point, though, because, a lot of people are silently suffering this year. Some are not so silently suffering, but I think a lot of people are taking some serious strain, not just financially, but we've brought it up a couple of times on the show, the mental health aspect to this and how being isolated, which is how a lot of people feel, is impacting negatively on their emotions, their relationships, their ability to be productive. You know, many people are having pretty dark thoughts, and it's the time of year now where we, you know, we see family for the first time, you know, for some people, especially if you've got a big family, then Christmas is probably when you all get together. And maybe, maybe there are a few people who are just really not up for it. I know my mom does the, you know, we do our annual sort of Clifmas carols where everybody gets together and sings. Well, she's decided this year she's not going to do it. She's just, she said, yeah, I mean, it's not like she works pretty hard to put the whole thing together, and I think she's just not in the mood for that. And she said also, you know, people have had a pretty difficult year, and she doesn't think that it's fair for, you know, everybody to be expected to come to this thing. I said, expected? People love it. But she's not in the mood to do it, and I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. So I think if you've got a lot going on in your life at the moment, and you feel like there's a reason to get up and there's a reason to smile and be happy and, you know, take an interest in other people, that's terrific, like Sia's mother. But if you don't, that's perfectly okay too. And if you're not in the mood for people and you're not in the mood for festivity, then you go ahead and you do it your way. Nobody can tell you what to do this year. Nobody.
When was the last time she didn't do it? I feel like
she's taken a break a few years, but mostly, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I can remember this. So probably for out of the 40 years, she's maybe missed it three times, including this year. So yeah, it's a big deal, but you know, we'll be fine. I mean, it's like, you know, you this year has been so full of different that I probably won't even notice it. But I think the rest of it's all lined up okay. So we've got the normal Christmas Eve dinner at her house, which will be on. There's going to be a Christmas Day lunch. And then, you know, from there on, we'll figure it out. But I do like the fact that we're reevaluating things. Like, you know, the way we would have done everything every year. It's just, it's some of the stuff, you kind of look at it and you go, why are we doing this again? You know, and that's
and
good.
The money and preparation and time and effort.
Yeah.
And buying gifts. Mm-hmm.
Well, I told you the other day that there's this family decision that's been made about we're all going to buy one gift for each other, and so that there aren't two. And I was like, I'm not part of this. I'm not this communist plot. I'll buy people whatever presents I like. Thank you.
Yeah, we usually do the Secret Santa thing.
Yeah.
But even this year we've said, because we're incorporating my cousin's married extended family, and because there's so many of us, and I don't want to end up having to buy a gift for someone I don't really know, so we're all just donating our money to a children's surgery charity this year.
Oh wow. Well, that's nice. That's that's a cool idea. I like that. It's very boring for you guys, but
it's also not the same. Yeah, it really is sweet, but.
But also, we're all adults in this. There's so few children in it.
No, well, that's good. That's a good point because it's really for the kids. So a few messages that are coming through here. Monwa BC says, I'm also not in the mood to be celebrating this year. I even volunteered to do the shift at work on Christmas. See, that's what I mean. People are reevaluating. Nikki says, you guys will make me so happy if you start wearing red or green sweaters in December and not gray.
Yeah, we're all very gray today,
eh? Whoops.
I must be honest with you. This is one of the reasons I always hated having cameras in there for that Comedy Central show and why I don't like the idea of radio being visual. Because I have to then dress up.
I'll go put on something festive and come back.
Oh, is that what you're going to do now?
Yeah.
Okay, off you go.
See you in a bit.
All right, that'll be fun.
Okay.
Okay, Tracy says, this year I have the perfect excuse not to have the mother-in-law over. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are glad that's happening.
Right. Khotso says, we will be having a team function. And it seems that there are places that are going to be, they're going to be doing exactly what they would do every other year. And good for them. Continuity, right?
Yeah, on the flip side, some of these things might be good to have just for the meaning and the role that they play.
Yeah, for people
to... You know, some people actually look forward to it. It's like, yeah, well, it is. Right. It has been such a shitty year. It's been very tough for the company, but to actually be here all together will mean something.
Well, Nikki also says that they're not having a traditional Christmas roast. This year they're doing a brunch. It's much cheaper, and champagne and orange can be called for a breakfast drink. Yes, that's a very good idea. Okay, so, you know, people are, they're taking the opportunity to change things. Wow, Leanne, look at you.
Ooh.
That's very festive. Wow.
Is that a caftan?
You'll have to turn on your mic again, please.
You asked for red and green.
And look at you. Came back looking like a Christmas tree.
A sparkly caftan.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice, though. Very happy. Okay, well, I'll have to go to some trouble. Maybe tomorrow I'll put on a Christmassy thing. We'll see how it goes. So, okay, if you've got an office year-end function and you're doing it on Zoom, how does that even work? I mean, what, are you going to sit at home with your drink like we did on house party in that first week of lockdown?
No.
Yeah, it's very. It's not, I mean, guys, let's face it. It's just depressing.
It's very.
Yeah.
It's miserable. If you invite me to one of those, I'm not coming.
Sorry, that day. Oh,
yeah.
My Wi-Fi.
We're breaking. And then you just
fake
stare,
it.
But you just you stare at your if it's got video on it, you just go.
Yeah, you just freeze.
And you don't move for like a couple of seconds, and then people go, oh, shame, okay.
And then maybe it's fine or one thing to for it to be a time for speeches and you hear from different people at the company, but you can't be expected to dance or have music.
No.
Either, right?
No, of course not.
I'm dancing in my room, and you're dancing in the study, and no, it's not the same. Let's just forget that part.
Tracy's full of ideas this morning. In fact, she's like our consultant today for all of this stuff. Listen to this. Tracy says, de-gifting, not re-gifting, de-gifting is so amazing. A few years ago, we decided not to give grown-ups another silly shirt or soap on a rope, but we made donations to charity that are applicable to each person. My mum got the local animal shelter. Isn't that nice? So you basically choose a charity, which is what your family are doing, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's lovely.
Okay.
I know it's boring. I know.
Yeah.
That's why, you do your thing and I'll do mine, thank you. That's what I told my family. I said, if you guys want to all pitch in and do a Secret Santa type thing, I don't mind if I do or don't get a gift. I don't care about that. But for me, half the reason I love Christmas is because I can buy other people gifts. So I want to be able to buy people presents. And I don't want you to tell me I'm not allowed to. Or that I have to throw in 50 Rand or 100 Rand into the pot. I'm not going to do that either. It's just,
you do you.
Yeah, it just makes it boring. I'm sorry. And then what's the point? What do you got to look forward to? I love seeing the kids' faces when they open up their presents. And I actually love seeing even adults' faces when they open up their presents. I try to find interesting gifts for them. I mean, otherwise, what's the point, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love all of that. I love it for myself. I love it for others. I love going through the trouble. I love trying to think about what would mean a lot to
That's part of the fun.
Sister of mine. I love the messiness and busyness of Christmas Eve dinner and trying to figure it all out, and we all sleep late that night and wake up. I just need all of that.
I think we need it more than ever. That's why I'm all for doing the stuff we do every year at Christmas time, and I'm not backing down. I do my annual Christmas party with maybe 15 or so of my friends, and then they all come here and we do Secret Santa and all that stuff. But this year, it looks like a lot more people. It looks like it could be closer to 25. So, it's going to be a big crew, and everybody has to bring a very cheap, nasty gift, really cheap and nasty. It has to be the most dreadful thing you can find. And then there's obviously a competition for whose present's the worst, and we eat and all of that stuff. But this year, I'm not because there's so many people coming, I think I'm just going to cater the thing. In other words, I don't want to worry about food. I'm going to get someone to come in, and they can do it, and it's going to cost a little bit more, but I might just ask everybody to, you know, pitch in $100, and then it'll cover the cost. Hassle. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm really looking forward to one of my sisters in Durban she's moved out of Durban, so she's now in Pietermaritzburg, which is about, give or take, 40, 45 an hour.
40, 45?
40, 45.
40,
45.
40, 45.
40, 45, yeah.
45. Minutes out of Durban. So she's still close enough to Durban and the family, but it's also far enough where you don't just drop in at any time. And she said, actually, you know what? You come and stay with me, and we'll just be the two of us and my niece. And then, you know, closer to actual Christmas, then we'll go down together. And I think that is a perfect plan.
No, that sounds
so it's
good.
Like the best of both worlds. You know, when we want to be around family, we'll drive down and we'll be around them. But then it's too much happening. No, it's time to wash the dishes. Sorry, we got to go. Ooh, it's getting dark. We don't drive at night.
Well, it looks like according to the weather, I'm just looking at Johannesburg and Pretoria for this week. It looks like it's going to be a pretty wet and chilly week, actually. So the last week of November, it's not going to be pleasant. There's like rain. Tomorrow they say is nice, but the rest of the week is like rainy. All the way up to Wednesday next week.
As long as people aren't suffering and there's flooding and horrible things happening,
I
really don't mind it.
No, especially because, you know, most of us are at home and don't have to go to work or anything. So that's good news. You don't have to get into your car and drive anywhere. Although Sia and I are doing, we're recording a whole bunch of shows this week. We've got today for Wednesday, and then we've got two shows that we're recording on Saturday.
Right.
Wow, back to back.
Yeah, so we have to do three. Then, you know, we've got some in the can that'll be played out during Christmas and New Year and all that time. So
yeah,
it's going to be a busy week. We've got no rest for the wicked this week. And the other person who's not going to be resting this week, I don't know that she's wicked, though, is Tsakani Maluleke, who starts as our new Auditor General this week. And I'm always amazed that they manage to find really good people when it comes to certain jobs in South Africa.
It's like, yay, they got a good one.
No, well, I mean, you know, the Auditor General is kind of an important job. And they found someone who's clearly, she's very capable here because she used to work in the family shop at age 9, so she's no slacker. But when it comes to, you know, the political roles like cabinet ministers and presidents and that kind of thing, then they really struggle to find good people. But they can always find someone good because they go on merit. So they go, okay, well, we need someone who's quite good with numbers, and then they go and find Tsakani Maluleke. But they can't do that for like the minister of trade and industry. They always seem to struggle, like, oh, we've got to find someone for trade and industry. I know, let's find someone really good. No, wait.
Save the good ones for the Auditor General
right,
role.
Right, exactly. Yeah, instead, no, we'll get someone who's quite shit and we'll put them in as the cabinet minister because they know all of us and they can toe the line. Madness. All right.
I love her story.
Yeah.
I love her story because, she grew up in Soshanguve, mm-hmm. started working in her family supermarket at age 9. Her father was a lawyer and then later judge at the Venda High Court, but the family also owned a supermarket, and so she started working as a cashier. They had left in 87 to move to Joburg, but she would always go back to Soshanguve for the holidays and work in the store. And then she started learning the basics of accounting, like reconciliation, taking in the day's cash takings. She then went to boarding school in Joburg, and she got the top score in an English comprehension test. And I love this part.
You know a lot about this woman.
I love this part. When the headmistress learned this, she came to her class and called Maluleke to the front of the class. The headmistress then proceeded to berate her classmates, who were all predominantly white and English-speaking, for allowing a girl who just arrived from a township school to beat them at an English comprehension test.
Awesome.
She said, this ingrained in me the notion to always move against the grain, try that much harder, and accept that not everyone is going to like it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I like the sound of her. I think she sounds perfect. I'm just worried, as always, that she's going to step into that role and she's going to expect everything to work, like her family shop, and she's suddenly going to realize how badly government run everything. And it's going to make her depressed. I'm telling you. It's not good. It's really not good.
She seems very motivated, though. So, yeah, I'm let's see what happens. But, yeah, she's a busy woman. She has served on many, many boards. She's currently the chairperson of the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants.
Wow.
To which my father belongs.
Yeah, Saika. We've been doing some work with Saika. We've done some really interesting shows with them this year on kind of the ethical and moral dynamic inside of doing the right thing and you know, following the rules of the accountancy profession and Saika in particular, because they set up these ways for you to tell whether someone is actually a chartered accountant, and to belong to these bodies gives them credibility. So good for her. She's been the chairperson, huh? It's amazing.
Yep.
All right. There's some things we need to talk about. I know Sia mentioned this very briefly the other day, but have you still got a bee infestation in your complex? Because Sia couldn't even open his windows because there were so many bees flying around, and it's like a major problem in his complex.
It seems like Saturday they sorted the last bit of it out, but I'm still not taking my chances. It started out earlier last week. We thought,
yeah,
isn't that interesting? Wow, okay. Two bees flying together, and then you might leave the sliding door open. You go, oh, three bees flying together. I thought I was the only one, but up until I got an email from the body corporate saying, okay, we are aware of a bee problem. Think there's a real, real problem. So we had to close things up. And yeah, the funny thing is, they actually had to call experts in for this. And they reminded me of that Portuguese pilot that you always reference, Leanne.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. He's a rechtige Afrikaanse man. Mm. And he came knocking on my door, I think, on Friday. And he says, okay, I don't want to scare you, but just be careful. When someone says, I don't want to scare you, that's when you know, yeah, I will be scared.
Don't panic, run.
Do you know that a bee can fly faster than you can run? Okay, I didn't know that. So that is why when you encounter it, just don't panic. Get back inside calmly and don't do anything. So we had to board up. We couldn't open our doors. We couldn't open the windows for a while because they were scared that they'll come in and then start, you know, getting a little too comfortable inside. And Friday was particularly warm, if you remember.
Yeah.
So my paranoia was acting up, thinking, do I not need to breathe? But I don't know what they did. I was glad for a couple of days that the kids weren't playing outside. I know I sound like a grumpy old man, but it was quiet for a while.
So can you open your windows now?
Yeah, they said we could, but I'm not.
Did they exterminate the bees? Did they actually?
No, surely not.
They said they were rehousing them.
Yeah,
it just sounds like an ethical way of the ongoing killers.
Well, I found
I wasn't interested.
I found a whole bunch of dead bees around my house, which didn't make me very happy. But I think it was just that they'd been, because Friday was so warm, They somehow got in certain places, and then a bunch of them had died trying to get out, you know, just kind of hanging in the window, and eventually, but like it was three or four, so it's not like an entire colony, and it was just those three or four. I haven't found any others.
They sent this lengthy email that spoke about why pollen is so important and the bee shortage the world over, and this is why it's so important for us to be patient with them and deal with this.
It's a good sign
if
you've got bees. If you've got bees, it means you've got a healthy ecosystem around you.
Well, we're very short of bees. It's a problem.
Yeah.
It means that certain fruits and vegetables will stop existing completely.
That is frightening.
So we have to save everyone.
Jesus. Well, we've also got to get to the headlines, so you choose. Bees or headlines?
Well, let's get on to it and do the headline.
All right. Here are the five things that you need to know today. First of all, from the people at ENCA, the EFF members to appear in court after the Brackenfell protest. Did you watch those videos?
No, I actually didn't on purpose.
Okay, well, it was pretty funny.
I saw the one during the protests where it was a black on white part of the violence where they took golf clubs to a white guy.
Oh, I saw that was horrible. Yeah, that was horrible. And what I did think was funny was that the police were spraying people with that blue water. And somebody said to me, the reason that they use the water and then they color it blue is because then they can find you afterwards if the protest has got violence. They can always find you because you'll be stained.
Wow.
Yeah, you'll be stained blue. Several EFF members are expected to appear in Blue Downs Magistrates Court for public violence. This after an EFF protest on Friday outside Brackenfell High School in Cape Town. Protesters clashed with police during demonstrations and alleged racism took place. The City of Cape Town someone in charge there has said that they plan to take civil action against the EFF to recover costs of damages. Good. Good. And I did think it was funny that you've got these EFF guys. They call themselves fighters, right? Economic freedom fighters. But they were running. They ran. They ran for the hills when they turned on those water cannons. So it seems if you want to frighten the EFF, all you need to do is just get them some water because they're all obviously, still traumatized by bath time.
But they were also using stun grenades, and it was really quite hectic.
Well, look, I don't like any violence, but I do think that when you are the people who are causing the trouble, because I'm sure that everybody at Brackenfell High School just wants to get on with their lives now. The matrics are writing exams or trying. The parents don't want to have to be there to protect the school. The teachers want to get back to work. It's been a hell of a year. And now these guys come along and they say, well, we're going to protest racism. I mean, how do you know when you've defeated racism, just by the way? What are the victory conditions here? Because if there aren't any, if you can't defeat it and your protest isn't going to do anything about it, why bother protesting? You know, if I want to, let's say I need to get a big deal done so that we can pay the salaries for the next 2 months. Then I know I've done what I set out to do when we land that big client and I have money in the bank to pay the salaries. You can measure.
Yeah, clear line.
How do you know if you've defeated racism if you're the EFF? I mean, how's your protest going to help? How do you know when you've done something that's worthy of calling it a victory? There's no way. And that's how you know it's bullshit. If you don't have victory conditions, if there's no way to measure a victory, give it up. You're fucking around. You actually just wasted everyone's time, which is precisely what they do. Louis says the EFF did not get the confrontation they were looking for, so they decided to burn the fields and vandalize the shops when they left. Yeah. Monwabisi says only people who smoke nyaupe are afraid of water. Yes. Oh, that's hilarious. That is very, very good. Janet says the police and other services were amazing. They sent those guys packing. Now they're threatening to come back for their berets. This if the guy doesn't return it. I already have a full pepper spray if they knock on my door. I'm so over this shit. I've got a green belt behind my house, and I started planting pollen-rich plants in there, says JP, for the bees. So JP's looking after the bees. Okay, so that's the EFF story, which everyone is still going on about, the Brackenfell story. Sam Mkokeli, has broken ranks and condemned Pravin Gordhan for investigating whistleblowers. So apparently, listen to this, Public Enterprises Minister Pravin Gordhan's spokesperson, Sam Mkokeli, has criticized his boss for launching an investigation to find whistleblowers who leaked information that his chief of staff does not have the required qualification. You know, there's something really, really wretched about people who go after whistleblowers. Like, if people are going after whistleblowers because those people have information which the rest of us are entitled to know about, especially in government. But Pravin is, You know, Praveen is really he's actually not a good person. And I don't say that easily about people. I think he's actually not a nice person. First of all, you know, this proves it. He's going after whistleblowers. But he is the guy. He's the one who's been in the wings, supposedly managing when he was Minister of Public Enterprises, among other things, and Minister of Finance, frankly, for a while. He's the one who's managed the public businesses like SAA and Transnet and Eskom and all of those. So he's actually the guy who we should be holding his feet to the fire and asking questions of. Instead, he's going after whistleblowers. I find it all very convenient. Praveen Gordon, you've got some splaining to do, frankly. But I will say that Eskom seems to be getting their act together, this Derrida, the CEO. I mean, when, I don't want to tempt fate, but when last did we have load shedding?
There have been lots of little problems and substations and things like that happening in my area.
Yeah.
But no, load shedding we haven't had in ages.
Yeah, I think let's not count our chickens, but I think he seems to be.
We may have just jinxed it all.
Yeah, he seems to be making some moves in the right direction. So well done to him through no good work on government's part, but we'll give it to Eskom. Maybe they're being run properly for the first time ever. Two 10-year-old boys and a 9-year-old drowned in a stormwater trench in Hammanskraal. It's not clear what happened. Meanwhile, the parents of the children claim the emergency response vehicles failed to help the kids. One mother claims officials brought dysfunctional equipment and that they couldn't then retrieve the children using that equipment. But that's terrible. And, you know, three kids have died. So it's an awful story. But again, we have to teach children. You can't now blame emergency services if you're the parents, because I know parents can't be with their kids the whole time, but you've got to teach your children at a young age about the dangers of rivers, stormwater drains, and even if they can swim, sometimes the water can be, you know, really, really, the current, the tide can be really strong, and it can pull those kids out, and even if they could swim, they're not going to make it. I know that you've got to stay away from low water bridges. You got to stay away from those stormwater drains that are huge. That can, you know, you could fit a kid down there easily. And if they go down there, there's no telling where they're going to come out if they do. You know, so you've got, as a parent, you've got to take care to let your children know that water, and particularly when we've had so much of it coming out of the sky, is very dangerous. Can't they expect emergency services to come and save you when you've spent zero time teaching your kids about the dangers of stormwater?
Yeah, I can't think of, I know we all have different situations and who's to know why they were there at the time.
Sure.
But I don't know, I can't think of just knowing that even my cat was near a stormwater drain during a storm. But Gareth, I remember the story always that you told growing up on a farm with the river that would
flood,
suddenly just come up in a wall.
Yeah.
Where there was not really much warning.
No, I mean,
and you could barely outrun it.
You definitely can't outrun it. And if you are playing around on the banks of a river and it's been raining for the last couple of hours, you better be careful. Mm-hmm. You've got to move. That water comes very fast. And before you know it, it's gone up a meter or two. And a meter or two of water is a hell of a lot that can take you it can wash you away.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I feel very sorry for these.
You should never underestimate water.
No, exactly. I feel very sorry for these kids. I feel very sorry for their parents. But, you know, that some of the responsibility also has to sit with them. There are five people.
But I also saw, quickly, mm-hmm. I saw a funny video from Vereniging on Friday, and I'll say funny because of just how it all happened. It looked like there's some tunnel, but it was a short bridge, and people aren't driving underneath it, but, you know, there was a large pool of water there because of the rains, and there was this little car that was, you can tell that the person was thinking, could I make it through, could I not make it through? And there were pedestrians around who were just waving their arms like, no, don't do it, don't do it, warning this person. Yeah. But the person still carried on and did it. And well, lo and behold, the car swerved out of control and then started bobbing in the actual water. But the funny part of the video, seeing all of these pedestrians, they actually started laughing. They were flailing their arms, going, almost as if like, well, we told them, you're getting what you deserve.
Listen, you have to be so careful in cars over those low water bridges. People always think, I'll just drive across. It's this much, it's 20 centimeters of water. Well, let me tell you, 20 centimeters of water on a low water bridge will take you. It'll take your car, even a big car.
And could ruin your car. That thing gets up and underneath one of the thingamajiggies.
Have you ever seen what a car looks like after it's been, kind of washed away? It's full of mud and it's bad. It's really bad. Very seldom do those cars manage to work again. They have to write them off. Totally ruins the interior.
Rival.
Yeah, it ruins the interior. It ruins the electronics. It's
like pouring a glass of water on your Mac.
Exactly.
Which I've done many times.
All right, then.
I was going to say, Leanne, that's particular. You're speaking from experience.
Five people are going to court this week in Randburg for allegedly murdering a Zulu royal prince. Prince Letukutula Zulu. Four men and a woman were arrested on Friday afternoon. Police found what they suspect to be illegal substances and are now investigating if the prince may have been drugged before the robbery and murder. The five will face charges of murder and theft. Security guards found the 50-year-old prince dead at his residence in Northwold 2 weeks ago. So I suppose we're only hearing about it because he's a prince, but who knows how many of these kinds of things happen, where someone is kidnapped and they're robbed. I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on. Now, here's an interesting story. This is from News 24. The ANC is reportedly bowed to legal opinion that it is not able to force members who face criminal charges to resign from leadership positions in the party. How convenient. Apparently, according to Gwede Mantashe, right, he says, stepping aside if you're accused of corruption has to be a voluntary act. So if you've been stealing and you're just as rotten as can be, the ANC will not force you to step aside. That amounts to suspension. No, instead you've got to do the thing yourself. You must decide, okay, well, I've been caught with my hands in the till, so I better resign. And, of course, no one in the ANC does that, correct?
No one's going to do
it. This isn't Japan.
No. News 24 previously reported that the legal opinion would be discussed at the National Executive Committee at the next meeting scheduled for next weekend. The Deputy Secretary General, Jesse Duarte, told the media that the party had received a report from senior legal counsel on a set of guidelines it would take on the contentious matter. Guidelines. In other words, we're not going to force you to resign. You've got to do that voluntarily. Oh, please. Unbelievable, that ANC. Jesus. I should have just joined the ANC when I was a kid. I would have a nice plush job now. I wouldn't have any responsibilities. And if they did catch me stealing, I'd just say, well, you can't force me to resign. I'm going to do this if I feel like it. And you know what? I quite like this job as Director General of whatever I might have been Director General of. Good luck. All right. A few messages that have come in. Can one of the listeners present on the show, says Kotso. What do you mean?
So like to the option to speak.
Oh, you can do that now. You can request to speak on the Webinar Jam software that we use to do the show in the morning, and we can put you on, Kotso. So come on, join the party. Let's hear what you have to say. Anushka says, guys, how is Prophet Bushiri still allowed to do an online church? The guy was preaching yesterday. I was nosy yesterday, and I went to drive past his house. God is truly very good to some people. Yeah, he's got five houses, I think, he and his wife, here in South Africa. They own five properties. Did you know that?
No.
And I feel like he's just trolling people by even continuing to do the online stuff, the online services. He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care at all. And he's not interested in, and he's not rushing back here to South Africa, is he? He's not going to be coming back here to face the music. He's going to stay in Malawi if he can. Oh, it's raining. I can hear the rain. I can hear the rain falling outside. Yay, that's nice. Okay, we've got to talk about something else that's going on because I believe some woman was searched at an airport in Qatar and it was really, really invasive. Like, you know how you hear these stories occasionally about these people who have someone puts their entire hand inside them to try and find drugs or something. And this Australian woman has decided to speak out about her airport hell in Qatar. So what did she have
in
to
Qatar,
say?
In Qatar, in Doha.
What's the story in Doha?
No one was really speaking about it up until now.
Yeah.
Because it happened very recently. It happened last month. And, you know, oftentimes, because this was actually a multiple cases of sexual abuse.
But didn't we hear, I think you told us about this story.
It wasn't me, but it has been in the news. And it's just now that one of the women has finally come forward. So it was at Doha Airport, and for many of the people on the Qatar Airways flight, or airline, or whatever it's called, were doing, like, it was kind of a stopover on the way home. In fact, the incident occurred before when COVID lockdown started happening, and a number of Australians were trying to get home.
Yeah, I remember
but
something
this woman
like this.
Is now
I remember the story, and she was basically, they did a body cavity search. And they said
so there
was,
were 15 women.
Yeah. I remember
it was,
the story.
They found a baby in a toilet at the airport.
Yes, that's what it was.
And in Qatar, it's a crime to have a child out of wedlock. And they presumed that this is what had happened here, is that this person, this woman had a secret pregnancy and had the gave birth in the bathroom. And so they got all the women off of the airplane. After delaying them for 3 hours,
wow!
Didn't tell them anything. They came in with guns, not speaking English. This woman who spoke out was sitting with her husband. She was on the plane with her husband, and he just said to her, "Take your phone, take your phone." There was no choice. They were pulled off the plane, marched off the plane, put into this elevator that went down onto another terminal, and then shoved individually into ambulances.
Jesus.
Where so there was already this is an intimidating thing. You know?
Hugely. Sure. She was in the ambulance, at the back of this ambulance, which was just parked, and it had very sort of thin blinds that she could see out, and the men who were standing outside could see in. It was a female who was inside doing the probe, if you may.
Yeah.
And she just said, all she said was, they found a dead baby, take off your pants. And this woman fought to not take off her pants, but she was forced to.
Jeez.
And for 2 to 3 minutes, which is a long time when you're in a situation like that, she was invasively searched and sexually abused. And when she got out of the ambulance, eventually she saw all the other women queuing in the terminal, and she wasn't allowed to tell them what was happening. And she just knew what was going to happen. She got back onto the plane, told her husband what had happened, and they just endured this long, painful flight with so many women who had been violated.
Oh my God! Imagine that.
And Qatar hasn't been in contact with these women at all to apologize or anything like that. There is a woman who used to live in Qatar who also spoke on this interviewed series, and she said that basically if you are a woman in Qatar, you are already a crime. You're born a crime.
Aye.
And the problem is that Qatar has been trying to label itself as a tourist-friendly city.
They're trying to
change their image.
Rehabilitate their image, because they've also got – they're supposed to be hosting the World Cup, you know, the Football World Cup. So we'll see.
2022.
And they they've got a horrible image for being this very backward place, even though they've, you know, they've got lots of money because of oil. And I think the Emir of Qatar celebrated some event over the weekend. But it seems to me that that place is just, you know, if you're a woman and you end up at the mercy of the authorities in Qatar, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't even suggest flying through there.
No, well, yeah. It sounds like an awful experience. And she could be seen from the outside? That was the part I found very weird, that she was in this sort of ambulance, but everyone could see in and she could see out. So I don't know what that's all about. Anyway, all right, so here's a story. A lady still missing in Durban from a few years ago. A flash flood in an industrial area took her. The authorities think that she's buried underneath a massive collapsed wall. The family still don't have closure. She climbed out of her car as the flood was very heavy, and she got taken under the storm water drain. Good heavens. That's got to be a scary way to go. Sure. All right, and then a few other messages here. This one is from Vickers. Vickers says, can you please discuss the whole Great Reset sometime? Maybe get someone on with some information. It was all a conspiracy at first, but now no one's even hiding it anymore. It was on the Time magazine cover. Have a lekker week. Great show. That's from Vickers. You know what, Vickers? I know what you're talking about. In fact, the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, pretty much said the quiet part out loud when he was talking about how coronavirus has given us an opportunity for a great reset. And all the conspiracy theorists are the ones who've said this coronavirus pandemic and everything associated with it is something that they were discussing at the Global Economic Forum back in Davos a couple of months ago. And that this is definitely on the agenda of, you know, again, we're going to get into the very, very grainy territory here of people who are, you know, who's in control of the world and who's really in charge, and is there a big conspiracy of these people and they make everything happen. But there are some very suspicious things that have happened this year as a direct result of this coronavirus pandemic. And some of it's been very convenient to governments and to global financial elites. And you've got to ask, well, is that all entirely by coincidence, or is it something that sounds like it was manufactured? So I don't know the answer, and I'm just so careful to jump on board with either the people who say, well, it's just a wacky conspiracy theory, because those people are just dismissing a whole lot of information that could be quite interesting, or on the other side to say, well, you know, this is absolutely true. And we have irrefutable evidence that it is true. I think I'm still in the middle trying to make my own mind up. But either way, I do think that there are very, very dodgy things going on. And I do not trust government. I've never trusted government. Mm-hmm. And I do not trust the media. And I don't trust all the various other parties who've been a little bit too excited about lockdowns, been a little bit too much in favor of it. I think that those people need to be watched very, very suspiciously.
My head starts to hurt at the thought that this could all be put together by some body of people.
Imagine.
It's going exactly like how they've planned.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
It makes me want to move to the South in the US and live somewhere with a porch so that I can grow a beard and have a rocking chair and just sit on my porch going, it's all a shame.
So
it's all going to shit. I'll be the crazy person on the streets, that's all.
Oh, by the way, you want to watch our trailer, which is on Instagram, for the latest episode of Blind History. This week we are talking about Grigory Rasputin. Yeah, Rasputin. So you want to see that. That is, it's a hell of an episode, and it's funny. It's you know, there's not a lot of reasons to just laugh out loud about history, because some of it is, I mean, look, there's a lot of funny stuff in history, but the Rasputin episode is my favorite one, because Anthony was so funny. You know, he's my co-host, and he had such funny stories about Rasputin. And you've got to hear it to understand. So this week,
tomorrow
we release a brand new episode. And we're almost at the end of season 4 of Blind History, believe it or not.
Jeez.
I know. Tracy says she won 25 South African rand with Lotto Land last night. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Well, I don't know. 25 rand is hardly like, you know, don't overdo it now. Don't go and spend all of it at once.
At least when you get a little amount like that, you know that your entry is working and that somebody, that some computer is picking it up and that you are heard. It's not like you're doing something wrong or throwing money away.
Well, I still haven't won the big, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't won the 7 billion or whatever. But we'll see.
I think we'd be able to see it in your face.
I probably wouldn't be able to hide it, even though I think I can. I don't think I would. I'd be very bad at hiding it. All right. We've got lots of other stuff to discuss. We're going to get to all of that just now. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Let us know what's on your mind, and you can request to speak, and we'll put you on the show. It sounds so formal, request to speak. But that's the way that we take calls now. So if
it's
you want to
just
be part
what
of,
is written on there on the knoppy.
Kurek. Kurek, and tell us what you got up to this weekend, if anything fun happened. We want to hear from you. It is a Monday morning on cliffcentral.com. Let's go. Cliffcentral.com.